Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hand together, everybody.
Good evening. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is March the 7th, year of our Lord, 2023. And you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our service starts each Sunday morning at 10 p.m. We are in the sanctuary. You can come and be a part of the services there. Also, you can go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. Every Sunday morning, we go live on Facebook at 10 a.m. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find the link for the Bible study that you're listening to now. There's also a call-in number, area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. If you're listening over the internet, you can call that number as well, and you can participate in the Bible study. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. Of course, you can come to church and bring your tithes and offerings, or you can mail them in. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Also, you can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 on Sunday, and you can drop off your contributions to the church as well. We do have a Cash App. The Cash App is FBCHS. FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. So we encourage you to keep on supporting the church, keep on supporting your local church, whatever church it is that you may be a part of or be a member of. Make sure that you do your duty to support the house of God wherever you are. We want to remind you that this coming Sunday is Family and Friends Day. Family and Friends Day is always a great time in the church. It is a time to celebrate families, celebrate the meaning of families. What would the church be without families? And so Family and Friends Day is always a big day in the church that we celebrate the greatness of families and how God put families together. I'm going to be talking about that this Sunday. What are families for? And we're going to talk about the family. Do we still have families like we used to have? What constitutes a family now? We're going to be talking about that Sunday, Family and Friends Day at First Baptist Holly Springs. Of course, we want to stay in prayer for all of our sick and shut in, those who are in the rest home, those who are in the hospital, and those bereaved families who are going through, who have lost a loved one. We know that it is very difficult time for you and for your family. We pray God's blessing upon you, that you will continue to be strong and know that the Lord is still on your side. He's still in the blessing business. So we want to pray for all of those who are locked behind prison bars. We want to pray for all of those who are addicted to alcohol or drugs. We want to pray for all of those who find themselves out of the ark of safety or feel that they're out of the ark of safety. We pray, God, that you will find your way into the heart of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for everyone on the line tonight. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go through our lesson tonight, you will give us clarity, that we may understand the word that is given before us. We thank you, God, for all your blessings this week and all that you're doing right now. We pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are finding themselves whatever situation they may be in. We pray, God, that you will lighten their load. Let them know that everything will be all right. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is a little like a continuation from last week. Last week we were talking about David and the procedure that David did to bring the Ark of the Covenant up into Jerusalem. Tonight we're dealing with David's son Solomon. Solomon summons the ark. We're coming from the book of 1 Kings, 8th chapter of 1 Kings, 8th chapter, starting in verse 1. Eighth chapter of 1 Kings, starting in verse 1. David was never able to see his main desire come to pass. He wanted to build a great temple for his God. Instead, God told David that his seed, namely Solomon, would be the one who would build him a temple. This week's lesson looks at the time after Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord, when he moved the Ark of the Covenant from the tent David prepared for it to its place of the temple. At the time of this lesson, Solomon, David's son, was the king of all of United Israel. As one notes in the introduction, Solomon, not David, was the one that God wanted to build his temple. But David made provisions, and he made preparations for Solomon to build the temple by stockpiling materials for the construction. You'll find this in 1 Chronicles 22, 2 through 6. In addition, David bought the land that the temple would be built on. You'll find that in 2 Samuel 24, 18 and 25. The land was located in the mountain range of Mount Moriah, the same place where God sent Abraham and his son to sacrifice Isaac before he stopped him. You'll find that in 1 Kings 5 and 7, gives the details of Solomon's work of building and furnishing the temple of God in Jerusalem, as well as his place and his palace. Our lesson begins with chapter 8 after Solomon's palace and the temple are finished as they prepare to dedicate the temple. So when we go to first verse of that 8th chapter of 1 Kings, it says, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs and the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion." When he says then, that first word then, what he's referring to is that after everything has been built, after Solomon finished the temple, after he brought all the items that David had gathered and put them in the temple, it says then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs and the elders and the fathers of the children. Now that the temple was finished, there was only one thing left for Solomon to do, and that was to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion, or what we call Jerusalem. Bring it out of Jerusalem into the temple, which was located right outside the city. Therefore, Solomon assembled all the leaders of Israel to represent the nations in their solemn procession. Among these leaders were the elders of Israel, which are the general term for elders, referring to all the leaders of the nation. These elders of Israel included all the heads of the tribes, all the chiefs, all the fathers, all the children of Israel, Israel, meaning Jacob. All of Jacob's descendants were brought forth, all the tribes of Israel. He brought them together to transfer the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the tabernacle to the temple, to bring it out of Jerusalem into the city where David had built the temple. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, was a sacred portable chest, which had the mercy seat and the cherubims built as part of it. It was a golden covered wooden chest with two cherubim mounted on both ends. And between the cherubim was the mercy seat. This was where God told Moses that he would meet with him when he had any messages to give to him and the people. The ark was the most sacred object of the Israelites during the wilderness period after leaving Egypt. It was also known as the Ark of the Lord. Some call it the Ark of God and the Ark of Testimony or Law. Prior to the Babylonian captivity, inside the Ark of the Covenant were the stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments, the the golden pot of manna, which God miraculously provided for a testimony to future generations, and also Aaron's rod, that rod that proved that Aaron was chosen by God. Once the tabernacle was completed, in the wilderness wanderings of the ark was to be placed behind the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. Whenever it was moved from place to place, only the Levites or the priests who had been ordained to carry it could carry it. And they had to do it using the poles that were inserted through the four golden rings on each side of the ark. No one knows what happened to the ark now after Nebuchadnezzar's army destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC, taking the Israelites into captivity. Although we may not know what happened to the ark of God, God does know. In his vision for the Isle of Patmos, John said that he saw the ark of God testimony in the temple. Verse 2. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king Solomon at the feast of the seventh month, Ethanim, which is the seventh month. In response to the king's summons, all the men of Israel and all of the other people of Israel, all the women, all the children, were called to assemble themselves to bring the ark to the temple. This occasion would also serve as the place or time to dedicate the temple. As a result, all the leaders of Israel obeyed the king's orders to assemble with the Ark of the Covenant, to bring it to its new home, the temple, which was built on the land bought by David outside of Jerusalem. This assembly took place at the feast of the seventh month of the year. It was celebrated beginning on the 15th day of the month, and it continued for 1 week. You'll find that in Leviticus 23 and 34. The feast referred here is what we call the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll find that in Leviticus 23 and 34. Or some would call it the Feast of Booths. God gave it that name because he made the children of Israel dwell in booths when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was observed in the seventh month. Also, on that month, they were to celebrate that time. The feast and the dedication of the temple took place in every year they would celebrate that date. Verse 3. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Again, it repeats the elders of Israel came. As Solomon commanded, it was also added that the priests took up the ark. In other words, the priests carried the ark. The priests referred to here are the sons of Levi, or the sons of Korah, who were descendants of Levi. And therefore, they were the priests. They were the ordained priests. Only the priestly tribe, as I said over and over again, was allowed to carry the ark. It had to be carried on their shoulders using two poles going through the four staves or the four rings. Failure to carry the ark the proper way, well, you know what would happen. It would lead to judgment and ultimately death. We all know the story. We talked about that last week. When the things of God are handled improperly, things can happen. And it can even get so bad as death. We must handle the things of God with respect, and we must handle them the way that they should be handled. When we go to verse 4, it says, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those that the priests and the Levites bring up. Once the priests positioned the ark to carry it on their shoulders by two poles, all the leaders then brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation. The ark was in a tent that David had prepared. It had been in that tent ever since the days of Moses. Actually, Moses was the first one who prepared the tabernacle. It was a moving temple. They could carry it with them wherever they went. And wherever the children of Israel decide to camp, the Bible tells us that they place the tabernacle in the center of that camp, and there the glory of God would come. This same ark now has found a resting place. You see, in the wilderness wandering, God had instructed Moses that all the things pertaining to the tabernacle were to be carried by the priests and the Levites. Therefore, not only did the priests and Levites bring up the ark, but they were also responsible for bringing up all the furnishings, all the vessels, and all the curtains. Everything that was in the tabernacle, the priests were responsible for transferring from the tabernacle to the temple. This refers to all the furnishings that Solomon had made, all the furnishings that David had made, all the golden cups, all the golden candlesticks, all of the things that were placed in the tabernacle. The priests were responsible to transfer that to the temple. Most, if not all, had been original of these things in the original temple had been lost. Some, according to David's instructions, Solomon had to make many of those items and recreate them for the temple. Solomon also brought in things that his father David had dedicated when he bought the ark in the time that he brought it from the Philistines. So some of the furnishings had been stolen by the Philistines, and some of the things of the holy things had been stolen as well. So David and Solomon had to remake some of those golden vessels and some of those golden candlesticks that was not stolen by the Philistines when they captured the Ark of the Covenant. Let's go down to verse 5. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him, were with him before the Ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. Now I want you to remember, I want you to get a picture of this. We're talking about Israel. At this point, there's probably about a million, maybe a million and a half people, maybe more. We're talking about a lot of people. We're talking about a procession that would take hours to go from beginning to end. And the Bible tells us that the way they brought the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle to the temple was the same way they brought it from Obed-Edom's house to the tabernacle when you find the story where David danced before the Lord. In other words, the Bible says that every six steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, every six steps, David offered sacrifices. After every six steps taken by the priest, as they carried the ark from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem, they sacrificed animals. And the Bible said there were so many animals being sacrificed at this dedication of the temple that they were described here as that could not be told or numbered for the multitude. This means that so many animals had been sacrificed that nobody could count them. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this large assembly of people, over a million people, singing, praising, bringing the Ark of the Covenant into its final or into its permanent resting place? And while they're doing that, they are making sacrifices to God every six steps. This is a momentous occasion in a very powerful moment. When something like this happens, that's a very powerful moment that's going on. And so when you get to verse 6, it says, and the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into the place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even unto the wings of the cherubims. As the procession approaches the temple, the priest brought out the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into its place. This place means the place that was prepared for it, the place of the Holy of Holiness. Now, there was a curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. Don't get them too mixed up. The priest could go to the holy place, but he was only allowed to go into the Holy of Holy places once a year And that was the Day of Atonement. No one was allowed to enter the most holy place. The priest could only enter the holy place, but only once a year could he go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. This is a very powerful moment. This is a very powerful time. God is reuniting with his people. God is coming to full terms with his people. They're finally getting the full flavor and the full favor of God. And this procession, this celebration, was a very powerful time in the history of the Israelitic people. Verse 7. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Well, here it's describing the image, how the ark actually looked, and how on top of the ark were the wings of the cherubim, the angels. And those cherubim covered the ark from one end to the other end. In the middle was called the mercy seat. And these cherubim's wings stretched across the ark itself. The staves or the poles of that could be seen under the wings of the cherubims to direct the priests on how to move those staves out of the ark. And they would no longer be needed. Those staves were taken away from the ark and placed somewhere else because it symbolizes the fact that now we have placed it in a place where it will never be moved again. So they thought. So verse 8 says, and they drew out the staves, and the ends of the staves were not seen in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. You see, once the ark was placed in its place, they took the staves out of the rings that were holding it. They didn't leave them there. They brought them out of the Holy of Holies and place them in the holy place, in front of the Holy of Holies. These staves are supposedly there to this day, meaning at the time of the writing of this particular scripture. We don't know what happened to all of the things that were there now. Of course, after Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylons came and destroyed Jerusalem, they took all of that, you know, away. But at that time, they stayed in the holy place. Verse 9, there was nothing in the ark save the two tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, what's happening here is time has passed. Now, you got to remember, there were several things in the Ark of the Covenant when they first started. But over the years, after Israel had been defeated by the Philistines, they took a lot of the things in that ark out. I don't know if you know the story of that. We might get into that at some point, how the Philistines, what happened those days that the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible said that everywhere they went, they had problems. Everywhere they went, they had trouble. Everywhere they went, they had death. There's a whole story about what happened to the Philistines after they captured the Ark of the Covenant. But during that time, some of the things that were in the Ark were taken out. And a lot of the things that the children of Israel had in there when they came out of Egypt was no longer in there. However, the Ten Commandments was still there. The two stones with the Ten Commandments, rather, were still there. These were, of course, the Ten Commandments and the covenant that Moses made with the people. Now, in verse 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. As this dedication service continued, the priests came out of the holy place where they conducted their daily temple service. At that time, the cloud, the Bible says, a cloud filled the house of the Lord. This was the cloud that indicated God's presence. It first appeared to Israel during their wilderness wandering, and then came to guide them as a pillar of cloud as they traveled during the daytime. This cloud also filled the first tabernacle when it was dedicated. If you remember, when that first tabernacle was dedicated, the Bible said the Spirit of God came down like a cloud and filled the temple. Well, the same thing is happening now. Same thing is happening now with the temple. The cloud is filling the temple. Moses had that same experience when he brought the Ark of the Covenant and placed it in the tabernacle. That cloud represents the glory of God and the glory of God coming down to be with the people. The presence of the glory of God is when God can touch and be among his people. It's as if God is saying to Solomon and all of those who built the temple, this is a beautiful place, now get out. It's time for me to move around in here. So the Bible said that all the priests had to leave. The cloud was so thick that the priests had to leave the temple. In other words, God ran them out the temple. He wanted to be there by himself. He wanted to move around in the temple himself. This was his house. This was his domain. We know today that we don't have a temple, but we do have the temple of God within us. There in the 12th verse, well, let's look at verse 11. I just talked about that. So the Bible says, so the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of God had filled the house of the Lord. It was the priests who were doing their daily service, who were trying to do their job. But the Bible said they couldn't stand there no longer because the glory of God was so powerful and that cloud was so thick that the priests could not do their priestly duties. And they had to leave out of the place so that God could have it for himself. The presence of God is very important for the lives of the Israelitic people. The presence of God is very important for all of God's people. Whenever the presence of God is gone from us, we suffer. We go through trial and tribulation. So the presence of God, that cloud, is important. And we all need to know that that's the glory of God and his presence with us. Let's look at verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. In this passage, there are many similarities to the Israelites and their experiences in the wilderness. It may seem that these words spoken by Solomon are out of place. But when you consider that the priests may have been in awe when they saw this thick cloud, we can understand that Solomon spoke these words to silence their fears that they may have been afraid of that cloud. With his words, Solomon reminded the priests that something that they may have forgotten, that this thickness, this cloud that's causing you to be so at awe is the presence of God. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. He may have been referring to the same words that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 5 and 22. These words the Lord spoke to all the assembly at Mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me. Moses had the same experience as the priest had when that thick cloud came upon him. Verse 13, the final verse here says, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. No doubt at this moment Solomon was reminded of God's promise to his father David and to his son that he would build the house. So Solomon said to the Lord, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place, meaning a place to abide forever. God had once again proven himself to be a faithful. David's son had built God a house to dwell in. As far as Solomon was concerned, this house was entirely God's own house. This house, unlike the tabernacle, was new, as Solomon continued to say, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Since the temple was God's own house, it should never be alienated nor converted to any other purpose. Unfortunately, because of Israel's sins, later during the time of Jesus, the temple was no longer a house of prayer. It became a den of thieves. But one day, those who come out of the great tribulation with their sins forgiven will serve God day and night in the heavenly temple, and God will dwell among them. You see, under King David, the Ark of the Covenant was placed in a tent or a tabernacle, but it was never God's intention for it to remain there. Under Solomon, the temple was built as a permanent lodging place for the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God with Israel. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have no such ark, but we have something that Israel did not have and still does not have. We have the presence of God continually because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us and will continue to do until the day of redemption. Knowing this ought to encourage us to praise and worship and glorify God for this time and for generations on. Beloved, this particular lesson teaches us the importance of the presence of God with us. We can't even walk without holding his hand. As we see in this lesson, the people of Israel were so excited and so happy to bring the Ark of the Covenant to its permanent resting place that they made great feasts, great sacrifice, great assemblies to the presence and the praise of Almighty God. History records that the Ark of the Covenant stayed there until 957 BC. So that means it stayed there for about 400 years before it was taken by the Babylonians. But the Ark of the Covenant today is still not seen. A lot of people claim they have knowledge of where it is, but nobody knows where the Ark of the Covenant is today. Wouldn't it be great to find the Ark of the Covenant? Wouldn't it be great for some archaeologist or some historian to find the Ark of the Covenant? I don't think they will. They will continue to look for it, just like the Holy Grail. They'll continue to look for that as well. All right, that's our lesson for tonight. I want to take some time, open up the lines, and maybe some of you may have something to add to this. You may have seen something in there that's important. But I wanted to connect this lesson with last week's lesson. We talked about David. I wanted to go directly into the finishing of the temple. We talked about David's desire to build the temple and how he went to Nathan, the prophet, and spoke to Nathan about his desire to build the temple. And Nathan went to God, which every man of God would do. Nathan took it to God. David didn't take it to God. David decided on his own he wanted to build God a house. And don't get that wrong, because David wanted to do something because God had been so good to him. But sometimes our best intentions can come out wrong. And so it was that God told Nathan to go back and tell David, "No, David, you won't be the one that builds the house. Your son Solomon will be the one. Your seed will be the one who will build the house." Okay, I'm going to open the lines. There may be somebody who want to add something to the lesson, or you simply just might be listening. If you are, you can say, "I'm listening." You're not obligated to speak. Some people are microphone shy. I certainly understand that. So if you'd like to add something to the lesson, you can do so. If not, then we'll go to the next call. Okay, we'll start with area code 919. Last four digits are 3447. Are you on the line? 3447. Are you on the line? Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Deacon. I mean, Pastor. Ooh, Lord. I'm just coming in from the flight. I was just listening to the lesson.
It's all right.
And I knew where you were going. I mean, with that, we don't have it's not a physical building now. The most holy is holy. place, but we are the temples. We are the temples of God.
Right.
And we and just like it's been said many times before, we have to have a clean temple for him to reside in, for that cloud, that Holy Spirit to reside in. I missed the lesson last week, but I did get the gist of this one from the get-go.
Okay.
I don't have much to add. I'm just glad to be here.
Good. You made a very good point, the clean temple. It was a brand-new building. It was a clean temple. And you're right. That's the only place where God will reside is in a clean temple. God will not reside in a dirty temple. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Good point. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Trustee, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Reverend Rogers. I really enjoyed the lesson. Really, I don't have anything to add to it because you explained it so well.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you something. Do you think David was disappointed when he found out that he wasn't the one to build the temple?
I think he was probably kind of a little disappointed because his main desire didn't come to pass because he was one wanting to build this great temple for God. But
instead,
you know, God told David that, you know, his seed, Solomon, would be the one to build this temple.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Good evening, everyone. This is Sherry.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you. Yes, great and excellent lesson this evening. I've learned a lot from it. I have actually a question more than input on it.
Go right ahead.
My question is, so do you think today's church is today's church a mock of the Holy Temple?
The temple, you talk about the building itself?
Yes.
Well, today we are the temple. The people are the temple.
We are the
Holy Ghost, the Spirit resides in us, not outside of us. So we are the temple.
Okay.
Yeah, we are the ones who carry the Spirit now. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Let's go to area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello,
good
Pastor.
Evening.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. I definitely enjoyed the word tonight, and I like how the temple was filled with the cloud, and that even the priests couldn't even stay in there. And I like how it came together with how our bodies are the temple and God lives in us, and how he had reunited his people because he had a great following that walked to the tabernacle when the ark was placed in tabernacle.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Deaconess, how are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
Good.
Yes, I have, whenever you were saying Nathan told David that the Lord had told him he wasn't the one to build the temple, that was, I'm trying to connect it with, okay, Nathan told David that he wasn't the one to build the temple, right?
That's right.
So he had instructions from God, and today that was the lesson last week, week before last. But then now today, God wants to talk directly through us. I mean, directly to us through the Holy Spirit, and we need to set some time aside so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Okay, exactly, exactly. Amen.
And that is one thing that and when it says David Nathan talked to David, it also brought up to me about how can you hear without a preacher?
Okay.
You know, as the preacher listens to what the Lord gives him, and then he gives it to the congregation, you know, the waiting congregation. That was also something that I thought about when you were talking about Nathan told David what was told to him.
Amen. That's a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. David spoke to the prophet Nathan. Nathan had to deliver. I want to go back to Sherry. Are you still there? Sherry?
Yes, I'm still here. Thank you.
Sherry, let me ask you something. How should we handle rejection?
I would say,
Have you ever been rejected?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. How do you handle that?
Rejection is something that hurts, but I think if we pray about it and, you know, ask God to, how can I say it, you know, if we pray about it and pray for his guidance to get through it, but... It does hurt us, but, you know, we can make it through. You can't let rejection make you, you know, go inside of a shell or not be willing to step out on faith. You got to keep that faith and move forward.
Okay. All right.
Keep your faith and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. I want to go back to
rejection too. You know, we should rejection. We should deal with it. We should like recognize that rejection is just a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some things are just meant to be, and we just need to just process our emotions. Like differently, it's just the way that you go about responding to rejection.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It is a part of life. It is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to want you. Everybody's not going to give you, you know, for whatever reason. You know, it could be whatever reason they have. They could, you know, people will reject you. Deacon Fuller, are you still there? Deacon Fuller, are you still there? Maybe you're on mute.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Deacon Fuller, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, the Bible describes how every six steps they made a sacrifice. What does that symbolize to you?
Every six steps, I was torn with that idea of six, in the 7 days, and I was thinking about my six steps. I really don't know why it was six steps, but I can imagine it taking a long time for procession people coming down through there.
Yeah, it represented the days of completion, the days of creation. And And as they made those steps, they would stop. And like you said, it would take hours. I mean, this probably started like early in the morning and probably didn't finish until midnight. You know, and the whole congregation, all the people stood there. All those who could be there were there. You know, and all those who could walk were probably carried there. And all those who, you know, every abled body was there. Can you imagine that scene? That was a very powerful scene at that time. Another thing that I wanted to point out here is that when we talk about the temple, we talk about the church building. Some religions call their churches temples. Well, all places of worship could be considered a temple, but don't get the building mixed up with the temple. The temple is in the heart of the people today. We are the temple. The church is a building, and it can be called a temple. Don't get me wrong. People that said that the church is the house of God is a temple. That's fine. That's fine. I don't have any argument. I'm not going to argue about that. But the actual temple, not the building, resides with God's people. Because and there it stays for until the day of redemption. The people of God were able to have the temple in their presence for almost 400 years. It stayed in one place. I don't know. I'm not able to do the math right now, but I understand that temple was the ark was brought up sometime around 580 BC. It was taken out of Israel around 957 BC. And of course, you go count backwards in BC, all counting down to year one, AD. But that adds up to about 390 some years, or 300 some odd years, almost 400 years, that the Ark of the Covenant stayed in one place, in the Holy of Holies. And so it was a place, a settled place, as Solomon called it. Anyone else have anything else they want to add? Anyone else have anything they want to add? Deacon Fuller, are you still there?
Yes.
How about just so
I was correct in my thinking that it was the 7 days. That's the seven. When they stopped, it was the rest day.
Right. Yes. Okay. Go right ahead and give us prayer. Offer prayer.
Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you for what our ears have heard and what our souls have felt on this Bible study, Lord. We thank you for using Reverend Rogers, Lord, to give the word, Lord. So it said in the word, how can the people hear without your preaching? Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for this lesson that has been bestowed in our hearts, Lord. And let us just remember, Jesus, that our temples are holy and should be clean, and so that your cloud of the Holy Spirit should reside within us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you just guide our footsteps and guide our mind state and what we do and the decisions we do, Lord, and treat people with love, Lord. And then, Lord, we just give you the honor, the glory in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all tonight. Don't forget Sunday, Family and Friends Day. Where would the church be without families? We're going to talk about families. We're going to be proud of our families. We're going to celebrate families. Where would the church be today without families? The church is made up of families. So we're going to celebrate family and Family and Friends Day. Join us this coming Sunday, 10 a.m., in the sanctuary. First Baptist, Holly Springs. God bless you. Y'all have a good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.